Okay. So tonight's topic of the Vod, it's Be'inyan Chavrusa Chizuk, or I think my English title for the website is Chavrusa. So what's all the tumult about? And I would like to talk about the concept of Chavrusas and really try to emphasize something which maybe is not so talked about so much, and especially at the beginning of Zman, when the Paris of this could be something which guys use the entire year, so it's good either to say it earlier than later. Let me begin with a story. Just last Shabbos, so schmoozing with a nice fellow, I guess you call a friend in the community, and I'm not even sure how he got there, but he started telling me a story about a guy he'd learned with the Chavrusa back in the day in Yeshiva. And he told me, this is not a Chavrusa guy, not a Yeshiva, just turn the scene. This guy was like an Eloi, deep, deep fella. He said he really had a problem learning Chavrusas. In fact, this friend of mine told me he was one of the few people that actually learned with this guy by Chavrusa. Most guys would not learn with this guy by Chavrusa. Why not? Well, you would sit and learn with this guy, and you start like asking him a question. It wasn't like the guy wasn't learning. He was constantly learning. But you'd ask him a question. Maybe he'd look at you for the first few seconds as you're asking the question. And then his mind would start wandering. His face would start turning. And next thing you knew, like, am I talking to a wall? Where is this guy? He said this guy also had a habit, sometimes in the middle of learning, would get up and start pacing. Just back and forth and pacing, like thinking about what was going on. And this friend of mine told me, as a Chavrusa, awkward is not the word. He's like, he knew what to do with this guy other than strangle him. Like, he's trying to carry on a conversation with the guy, trying to talk to the guy. The guy's not there. The guy was like in his own world. And this story depicts why this guy had quite a bit of trouble finding a chavrusa in his years learning in yeshiva. So this friend told me he tried, like, coaching this fella to focus on what the other person's saying. Obviously, this guy's an Eloi and this, but okay. But the give and take, the back and forth, learning Chavrusa, that's what it's about. You're not going to be able to hold a Chavrusa if you're in your own world. Now, that Lamaisa is somewhat of an extreme story, but in its own ways, it has ramifications, I think, for everybody in this room. Because everyone, in the way that they learn, in the way that they think, in the way that they process information, has individual ways they do these things. And the more your individuality or your differences are bolting through in the relationship, the harder it is to have a relationship. Because you're so different, you're so unique, you're so fixated in the way you do things that it might make it hard for someone to be your partner. So what I'd like to do tonight is give different etzas to hopefully help people get together, get better in terms of being a chavrusa. That's the goal. The first etzah, maybe even more basic, more yisod, is the following. What's the average guy's perspective when it comes to choosing a chavrusa? So, you know, you in your own mind, you have a certain, like, ideal of where you're holding and learning. unfortunately, that ideal is very much based on your self-confidence. So people who are self-confident think they're learning great. People who have horrible self-confidence think their learning is horrible and they're the plague and nobody's ever want to learn with them. And then you have probably a guy in between or above, whichever way you look at it, that views himself like way above where he really is. There's all different guys. The guy is self-confident and knows who he is, the guy who has bad self-esteem and thinks himself much lower than he is, and the guy who has an inflated idea of who he is. So that itself is always, you know, your biggest enemy many times is yourself. So in choosing chavrusas, you try to choose like the guy like you, or a guy better than you. That's like the default setting people have with chavrusas. I wasn't so happy today. This is just coming. In researching this, I went through a lot of svarim. I'm trying to see what they say about chavrusas. Now, I have stuff I've gathered over the years, but I figured, let me get some more material. So I came across something. I will not name the sefer, because I didn't like it. Where the Chashav Rav, who the sefer is about, was asked the following shayla. There's a concept, there's actually a whole sugya in Kedushin, of Ani HaMahapach B'Charara. Basically means, literally, is a poor person going after a cookie. Right? It doesn't mean a yeshiva guy by the hefker table, but maybe. So, Ani HaMahapach B'Charara practically translates, you're living in North Miami Beach. There aren't so many houses up for sale for normal to prices that silly New Yorkers who want to buy vacation homes are willing to pay. Regular people that want to, the family, not so easy to get a house. So you're looking, you found the house that's available, you're looking at it. All of a sudden, someone else finds out that the house is available. And they offer the going price plus. They sort of swoop in and outbid you. Now, I'm not getting to all the practice, sometimes it's allowed, but there's a whole sugya in Kedushin, Ani HaMahapach B'Charara, where there's an isser, where you're the person to take something which is basically going to somebody else. So I saw someone ask a shayla, let's say Reuven and Shimon were about to make up. They basically made up that they're going to learn B'Chavrusa with each other. But Levi knows he's big stuff. If he offers Reuven to learn with him, Reuven will dump Shimon to learn with him. Is Levi allowed to do that? Is Levi allowed to do that? So Dr. Rav, 100%. Hecha Goldman. What about the fact you're messing over Shimon? Talk on the Zinyan of Musar too, you know. And I guess you should make sure that Shimon also gets a Chavrusa. That's what this Rav said. I was quite perturbed when I read it. I don't know if anyone told me about the things. I was mumbling things as soon as I saw that. Whoa, like that. I was a little taken aback. Contrast that for a moment. Another interesting story. I just happened to hear there's a famous Magid Shir in Eretz Yisrael. Amazing, amazing speaker. If you go for summer's month, we gotta check him out. His name is Shragi Kalas. Shragi gives Shirim. Started off always in Torah Or, but I think now he's also giving by Rabbi Center's yeshiva. He gives in base, he gives in a few seminaries. It's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's a posek, young guy, yeshivish guy, but he's got a schmack of personality. He's like a, who's the guy who used to be in the mayor? Made his own yeshiva. He's sort of like with Nissen Kaplan, but a little less of a kanais, more like straight. So, careful what I say. But Shragi was talking about chavrusas, and Imamish said the exact opposite that was quoted inside the Sefer. He was talking about this type of scenario where a guy has one chavrusa but could, quote unquote, do better if he flips to another guy. Obviously, there are circumstances where a person has to switch, things come up. Okay, that's different. We're talking about that, some the person could stay, but l'maisa, something better is available. So he's like, oh, they have all these different nesachos. He starts saying, of Achreach HaKoidman, and He starts going through like all different chazals of why a guy would say his learning comes first and he has rights to all these things. And he's like, I think the only klal that applies is when it comes to Misa, it's Yahar Gval Yavar. He's like, you have a chavrusa. You can learn with him. Something better came about. You're killing him. You're dropping him. Who knows what's going to be with him? Yahar Gval Yavar. He was like pretty stark. I was like, whoa. So I think one of the first most basic klalim, I'll elaborate on this a little bit, is a person has to know who he is, has to appreciate the relationship with his chavrusa, realize when you commit to chavrusa, that itself is a commitment, and you should try your best to make it work. That should be the default. Obviously, there are circumstances that get to a point where, okay, you have to switch. If he's not around, so what are you going to do? He's not here. He's not showing up. So that's different. But we're talking in the case where the guy's there, he's trying. Okay, you could get better chavrusa. So that's where you have commitment, you have somebody, you have a certain achrayus to do your best to help out the chavrusa. And I, all the from Chayecha Kodmin, Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam. Yeah, but it's not just like Musar is like a side thing. It's not even Musar. It's a commitment you made. You picked this Chavrusa. You can't just flip for somebody else. So I think the first pretty basic step is you always have to acknowledge a relationship. There is a relationship with the Chavrusa, and a person should try the best to keep that. That's most basic Yisod. But here's a second Yisod, which definitely I don't think is talked about as much as it probably should be. As we said, guys are choosing chavrusa, so they touch up themselves, they touch up a friend, and they figure out, okay, you fit with me, I fit with you, great. That's Leonidas Daiti, that's probably as far, unless it's ever talked about in a vod or something else, that a person ever thinks of vis-a-vis a chavrusa. You choose a chavrusa on your rank, on his rank, and boom. Do people think in terms of the fact that, I'll give a mashal, just like when it comes to lumdas, a guy knows, look, as Hashem, as I yeshiva each year, I'm a different shir, I'm growing, so I want my lumdas, I want my ability to learn, to get better and better. So my years in yeshiva, I'm working on my lumdas. I want to become a bigger lamdan, as Hashem, a better future Talmud Chacham. I know as a Musar Seder in general, I work on my midos. Okay, you know, kas is an area that I should work on, so I'm going to do that. Other guy says jealousy is something that's really holding me back, so that's something I'm going to work on. So these midos, the guy knows you work on. The guy ever think of, in terms of the fact, I should work on becoming a better chavrusa? Becoming a better chavrusa is also a midah. It's also an area for growth. It's not just you pick the chavrusa, and then you're on autopilot. Okay, let's go. Next 60 blot, here we are. That's not the way. Being a chavrusa is a midah. Being a better chavrusa. And just like you work on the alumdis, and you work on particular midos, really, morning seder, afternoon seder, night seder, all the other little things we have, anytime you're interacting with another guy, you're really working on a Seder called, I want to be a better Chavrusa. We never think about it in those terms, but we probably should. If you think about each time I sit across from another guy, I want to become better at the skills of what I'm doing. So that's a big deal. That's a big thing. So, I think this is the first Eitzah. First Eitzah, I think, is a person should realize that when he's learning with a Chavrusa, it's not just like, if it doesn't work out, then the posture of a guy is like, he's not working for me. Okay. What are you doing about it? I'm going to my rabbi to tell him, hey, search my chavrusa. This guy's not working. That's not what you call doing something about it. As a person, you have to figure out a way to make it work. What do you think Lamasha has a rabbi? You know, every year, you know, rabbi, fifth grade rabbi gets his class, comes after 2 weeks, comes to Manal, sorry, it's not working. This guy, and that guy not learning. Can you please switch him out? Buddy, you took a job as a rabbi, right? Your job is to get these guys to learn. It's not working, so like switch them. That's part of your job. Part of your job as a chavrusa is to connect to the guy to the best of your ability, to help him succeed in learning, and to help yourself succeed in learning. The way for you to succeed in learning is to connect with the guy. If you're not going to connect with him, you might as well be that Eloy who's pacing back and forth, rubbing his back against a pillar in the middle of the base medrash, while you're still, his chavrusa is still talking and to figure out like what's going on here. Queens, they have these two big pillars. Oh gosh, if the moldings that stick out, these guys like, I don't know what's going on there. Hashtag summer's month. Now, second etzah, second idea. I thought of this ma'isa stam, it's very kedai, but I know our audience that listens is not just the people in the room, but our website, our new website, people listen, get shirim, a lot of alumni pay attention to this stuff too. I think this is a big problem with guys after they leave yeshiva. And I've heard this from multiple people in many different scenarios. I'll make it personal, right? A guy who sits and learns Chofetz Chaim for X amount of years feels that he's a Chofetz Chaim guy. He's got the Chofetz Chaim derech down. Once he's got the Chofetz Chaim derech down in his mind, it's like, did you go to yeshiva? Lakewood? Not going to work out for me and you, b'chavrus. Now, if you're living in Chicago, running nursing homes over there, and okay, you have a tough schedule, and okay, you're able to make some time for a chavrusa. The five Chofetz Chaim guys in town, they're booked that hour. No chavrusa. Only guys left are the 150 guys from Lakewood. I don't think it's going to work. You know, I'm going to start hawking, and the guy's going to think I'm crazy. So what are you going to do? I'm going to go learn on the phone with this Chofetz Chaim guy in Tucson. Okay, maybe that's the only choice. But you know what? There's no excuse why any Chofetz Chaim guy shouldn't be able to learn with any other Chasheva Ben Torah that knows how to learn. Whether you learned in Lakewood or you learned in Neir Yisrael, wherever it is in the spectrum, the person learned serious Torah, and is within your level, why can't you learn with them? Well, we have different styles. Okay, great. So when you learn a Tosos, you'll think of your Chofetz Chaim Gashas. When he, you know, he'll think of his Reb Nachum Kvetch. And okay, somehow, you know, it's very important when a guy sits with a chavrusa to not to be locked in to his train of thought, to his way of doing things. You have to be able to branch out and learn from your chavrusa. Different styles. I dare say, even a different derech. Now, that might be later when you're outside of yeshiva, but yeah. And I'll tell you a ma'isa behind this. Interesting hashkafa. I do feel bad in retrospect about it. In my years in yeshiva, so Queens is always a rough place, and it was always a challenge finding the right guys for chavrusa, this and that. I remember a few years into my Queens tenure, I found like the perfect chavrusa for me, for Ian, and I learned them for the next like five years. I found a perfect guy for me for Bikias, I also learned for the next 4 or 5 years. Ad Shabbat, I happened to hear my father-in-law say over Hashkafa, that really it's best to constantly switch your chavrusa. Now, to me, this is also chiddush, because I thought that Rabbi Lubin, Rabbi Jacobson, Rabbi Rausch, like, had this, like, three or four some that they basically learned with each other, just flip-flopping, every other's mom. But it was only those four guys, learned together. So yet he was espousing the Hashkafa. No, it's really good for people to switch. I wasn't the one of the guys saying, you mean for the average guy they should be switching? Well, other guys don't need to. No, I knew he wasn't saying that. No, he taka believed that the right thing for guys, he actually held twice, that you should have two chavrusas a year, ideally. You should have one in the beginning of the year. If it happens to be, it's going very well, and you can't find anybody else, and whatever, and it's a chesed to stay with your chavrusas. Okay, maybe you can keep the same chavrusas the whole year. But he was a big fan, is a big fan, of guys switching up chavrusas. What's pshat? Mayhem. Chavrusa tumult. It's nothing Chavetz Chaim wants them. Lakewood has called him, Chavetz Chaim has called him. Lakewood has tumult, so Chavetz Chaim doesn't have to have tumult. You know what? Even if there be a day where no one could pick chavrusas, like the first day of the Zman, all come to Queens, and they do chavrusas, it still wouldn't be the same. First of all, who wants, they'll have pictures of the Chavetz Chaim guys in all their funny-looking clothes out there in the plaza. That wouldn't look good for, pictures. Secondly, it never would be called a tumult. It would be called the chavrusa hak. But okay. I can see the pictures now. All right, Pagan keeps on saying over the story. It's a great story. Nothing to do with anything, but just thought of it. Harris was bemoaning the fact, guys don't know. The branch was out telling guys, guys, be careful. You can't walk down the street in shorts. Cover the bentora. Especially around the yeshiva, I know it's Florida, but I still remember my first year, Harry Sharfman, going through a rant, how he went to Publix, and he ran to a few guys and said, "Hey, Rebbe, how you doing?" And all the guys were decked out in shorts. So he had what to say the next, he held back shots, myself. But come Sunday afternoon, that his Musar Vad went for, let's just say, it covered into the second game. Went for a while. So Harris was bemoaning. He says sometimes you drive Friday afternoon, passes by the plaza, the yeshiva, and there's a few guys sitting out there in their undershirts, tzitzis on top, with the guitar sitting on the steps, chilling. And Harris is but these guys don't even stand to see yeshiva. You're not inside the door. It's the street. It's a shtot. There are people. You can't dress like this. But okay. But that plaza would be a fascinating thing seen if you had a chavrusa tumult or chavrusa hak over there. But really, I guess this idea that why should you have multiple chavrusas in a year? So I believe my shver said the pshat is because every person thinks differently. And there's something to be gained by learning with a different guy who has a different approach, different way of looking at something. And by learning with him, I think there's two things you gain. If it really works out well, you gain a different approach. Till now, when I see a tosos, I only look at it one way. It's the only way I think I could resolve such a tosos. But the more advanced you are in learning, you can pick up another way to do it. Your friend has a, sort of like a different approach to look at things. I pick it up. But I hear there's even a more basic step. Let's say you don't pick up your friend's other mahalo. That's the way he thinks. But it's also a major, major thing to help yourself become more flexible by just hearing out the way he thinks. You don't accept it as yours. You're not ever going to look at Tosos the way he does. But just by hearing him out, this is the way you look at Tosos, that's already a big milo. You're looking at it differently. You're becoming more flexible. I think it should be a goal of everybody in yeshiva, this is a big line, that you ask me, what's the ideal yeshiva? I liked it today, somebody told me, he was looking back at his Masifta years, what the ideal Masifta was, something nice about Masifta. yeah, everyone's connected. It was a nice, homey feeling, all connected. You know what I think an element of an ideal yeshiva is? Where every single guy in yeshiva can learn and interact with every single guy in yeshiva. Steve. Well, the super duper third year guy with the young first year guy coming in, they could connect? Yeah. And the strong guy, weaker guy? Yeah. Why not? I still remember my famous line, you know, you go to Queens, go to Lakewood, think about this, the difference in age between people. You have a first year guy in Queens with a 14th year guy in Queens. I was telling Chaimel, I was in yeshiva with his father. I ain't your father's age. I got some gray in my hair, but a little younger. But I was in yeshiva at the same time. Could have been 10 years older than me. But in Beis Medrash, we're in the same yeshiva. I interacted with guys 10 years older than me in yeshiva. Right? Rabbi Harris and Rabbi Grimblatt are 9 years apart. 9 years. But they interacted when they were in yeshiva. They connected with this. Obviously, as life goes on, age differences fall by the wayside. It's nothing. But so too, a person should learn the skills as a chavrusa. If you're growing in your midah of being a good chavrusa, then you're really growing in your ability to interact, not just to schmooze, right? There are a lot of guys who could schmooze with guys of all ages. Okay? That's a madriga. It's also important. But it's more than that. You should be able to connect with and learning some way, every guy in yeshiva being able to learn with every guy in yeshiva. Not saying afternoon Seder, everyone should be learning together, okay? But some means of connecting. I'm not just hooked up to a certain type of guy. I looked at my notes. I want to give a vod about chavrusas. So one of the things I said, I'll be careful if any of my friends are listening. But I remember the range of types of guys I learned with in yeshiva. One zman I learned with a guy who wore jeans, not blue jeans, but nowadays people get away with it all the time. But like back in the day, it wasn't. He was wearing some type of jeans with some $500 Ferragamo belt. Let's just say not the most yeshivish guy in the yeshiva. He wasn't the most intense guy in the yeshiva either. I think I was asked to lure him to keep him in the yeshiva. That was one fella. Another chavrusa was like the most intense, like super focused, probably too focused guy. I hope I normalized him a little bit. But like two totally different extremes. Yeah, two chavrusas. Like, I think somewhere along the line I picked up the ability to learn with different types of people. All different things. So that's a very, very important midah, which slowly, as you learn with different people, not only, okay, hopefully you'll pick up some degree that other people learn, and that's a milo to pick up their way of thinking, but it's also means, it's also important just to accept them, just to realize who they are, the way they think. Read through some of these marmakomos, put a whole slew on the page. They all talk about milos of chavrusas. Rabbi Aaron has another step. And this is also something people don't focus on. If you look in the brackets, Rabbi Aaron says in general, two lines before the brackets. Right, you're learning, and you come across an ara, which is like poshet that you have to spend time on. Kishemoser lechavero. When you have to give it over to your friend, right? You thought of a kasha that you're doing tosos. So when you say it over to your chavrusa, ma'orizem achshavaso li'ian. Anytime you have to say something over, that focuses you on a deeper level. So it focuses you, ma'orizem achshavaso li'ian. Till you get clarity on it. It could be with even one word that totally enlightens your friend. Just saying over an extra word, boom, it impacts him. V'chove kedosha, this is a holy responsibility. Shel kushava ara, timosa rabim kedesha yisbar v'yislavnum advar. Really, every kasha that you have, you should always give over to the public. V'osh kol yachid tzarchal yilachal. Echad doesn't mean you talk to everybody. Well, it means, right, with divil chaverim. I can't resist saying over. In Slobodka, back in the day, they used to have a thing that if a guy had a chiddush, he would clop in the bima, and they'll get like a chabur of guys who come over to hear his chiddush. So I think they're mevatel this rule eventually because of Rav Aaron himself. And this hashkafa, which he's writing here, Rav Aaron held of that. You have a chiddush, you have to give it over to the rabbi. So they said about Rav Aaron that he would go to the bima, say a chiddush, boom. Okay, from Hawks. The guy was constantly clopping. He's around color. He's coming off Kedushin every other second. So he's clopping away, you know, every 2 minutes. So they eventually had to make, you know, around color world. Like, no clopping. But the concept is, here is, okay, for a chiddush, you should say it over, because even a chiddush, especially a chiddush, you know, you have to hack it out, not so poshet. So by friends hacking you, you'll get clarity. But even more basic things, you have a simple kasha, anything you learn, if you have to say it over to somebody else, it gives you clarity. So that's why, you know, people always think, oh, the best chavrusa to have is a guy who's better than me because it'll help me out a little bit. Not true necessarily. A lot of times a guy who's, you have to explain things to better, that helps you explain things, that helps you get it clearer. So it works both ways. So that's another element. I'll skip to the Tosas Rush over here. Let's talk about one Amora was tearing Kriya over his friend, his other Amora. He says, because I lost this person who was afraid, I was afraid of. Klomar, Tosas Rush says. M'nei yurasu ha'yisi ma'ayim b'shmu asi yafa v'l'yisi mekoba. Because I was afraid of him. I knew this guy would jump on me. He's a tiger. If I said something off, he's going to jump. He's going to scream. Right? Kill a kass. Right? You don't say it straight, he's going to hit you. Wait, what's your kasha? Wait, so where's the tosos? What is this? Let's break it down. I was afraid of him. I'd be ma'ayim b'shemasi v'ayisi mekoba. Many times, people get by with, okay, with a pshat that they're, you know, the mekel. Yeah, it's good enough. But if you're really afraid, I have to say it over to this guy, and he's not going to have rachmanos on me, you're going to make sure to say it straight. So that's how chavrus is, and how people help. When you have to say something over, in your mind, everything is great. By saying it over to somebody, that helps you get clarity. Again, some of these are madregas. Yeah, the guy at Gavaraba might be a better person to say something over to make you. But you know what? That's the mile of the stronger guy. But the mile of the weaker guy also is, just by you saying it out, makes it that you have to get a certain clarity. And through that extra clarity, you never know, that might spell the difference of you understanding something or not. So, you go through all the different midos. This mido of being a chavrusa means you have to accept a guy. You have to feel it's a responsibility. Like we started on top, right? Ani mapa b'charara. You agreed to the guy. Not so posh to go and flip him. First and foremost, you have a chavrusa. It's a responsibility to him. Secondly, you have to realize, okay, things don't work out so well. Okay, but that's part of what a chavrusa is. Not supposed to be delivered on a silver platter. You have to do whatever you can to try to make this work. You being a better chavrusa means I have to fit with my chavrusa. I have to bend and be flexible, whatever I can do to make this work. Now, okay, there are some relationships which are past the point of no return. But for other things, no. Did I do enough myself to make myself accessible for this guy, work with this guy, to see that? We also talked, just by saying things out, saying it over to somebody, that itself has a mila of getting clarity. And the more a person realizes that, the more a person will appreciate what it means in chavrusa. Of course, a person sometimes is tasked in life in situations where he's learning by himself. And it is a good milah to be able to learn by yourself too. You have to, you know, there's some people that can only learn with a chavrusa. That's not the best thing. You have to be able to acquire the skill to sit there and learn by yourself. And in some ways, it's a much harder skill to do. It's very hard to sit by yourself, especially when other people are sitting with chavrusas. But in general, we're talking about the milah of a chavrusa. It's a midah which a person has to work on. One last chazal. It's interesting. This is found in Revolbi's Ali Shor, Chelik Beis. It's the one thing I found that he quotes from Isaac Sher. Not sure where he got it from. He heard it straight from Isaac or not, but he's quoting from Isaac Sher. And he's quoting the famous Gemara, Marantinus, Bachoni Amagel, basically the guy who slept for 70 years, wakes up, and basically didn't know anybody. And he said the sad line, right? Think about it, sometimes guys, you know, they come back to visit yeshiva. They're gone for just a few years. They come back. They don't recognize the place. Imagine being gone for 70 years and coming back. Totally doesn't recognize the place. So Chani Magal said the famous line, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. So Isaac Sher in the bottom paragraph has a question that they compare this to Eov. So Eov, basically, Hashem gave power to the Satan to do whatever he wanted to Eov. The Pasuk says, "Hinei kol asher lo biyadcha," you could do whatever it's in your hands. "Rak elav al tishlach yadcha," the only t'nai is, but you can't hurt him. You could make his circumstances, situation, as bad as you want, which the Maisa, that's what the Satan did. Eov lost everything around him. He was in the most dire straits. But Hashem said, you can't kill Eov. That power I'm not giving to you. So Isaac shares Mitzayr. So what did the Sultan do? Lakach ha-Satan b'men al-Sako. Bana b'nosa v'chusha. Took away his kids, his wealth. Ach lama lakach b'men al-Gamas chaverov. Why didn't he take away his friends? Right? The lashon of this memra, the Gemara Bar Basra, is Rava didn't just say the words O Chavrusa, O Misusa. He said O Chavrusa, like the friends of Eov, O Misusa. So Rabbi Isaac Sher answers back, Havi Omer, Ki Chaverim Him Begeder Achas Nafshel Shamar, Shem Shaychanim LeEtzem HaAdam. When you talk about a Chavrusa, what a Chavrusa really could be, or should be, is the goal that he is me. Shluchu Shel Adam Kemosa. Right, when you, a real chavrusa is someone that becomes like you. That's where Isaac shares vart. Satan could take anything away from Eov. He couldn't take away his friends. He couldn't take away his chavrusa, because his chavrusa was an extension of him himself. That wasn't his family. That wasn't his wealth. That's him. Hashem said, you could do anything, just don't touch him. What's included in his sphere? His chavrusas. Says Dr. Isaac Sher, that's what a chavrusa is. A chavrusa, the goal should be, is this zman in learning, we become like one. Now, obviously there are differences, big differences. But your goal as a chavrusa is, I want to be the best that I can be to connect with this guy, to become one like this guy, not to space out when he's reading, not to just use him when I want to hawk about something. No, it should be a two-way street. When he wants to talk about something, you listen to him. You want to talk about something, hopefully he'll listen back to you. But it's a means of connection. End of the day, you and a chavrusa should become like one. And the maisa, anyone who has experience with these things, trust me, a guy you learn with the chavrusa in your years in yeshiva, there's a certain bond, there's a kesher that nothing could ever take away. I can tell you right now, every single guy I learned with in yeshiva has chavrusas. It's years ago. But it's a certain impact that it has. He was my chavrusa. I learned with him. I gained from him. Okay, there are some chavrusas I gained more than others. Chavrusas maybe were better than others. But but it's still an element of a person's life that you become one, you connect, and it's a milah not just for your learning, but really for your personal connections, how to understand another person, how to see the way a person thinks. And Be'ezus Hashem, the more you connect, the better person you become. Thank you for listening.